This is the Paper Mask Podcast. A podcast for discussion and analysis of music, movies, television, and more. A warning, these conversations may contain harsh language and possible plot spoilers in our film and television reviews. Listener discretion is advised.
I liked Batman Begins. I liked Dark Knight a lot. They had their problems, but I really liked those movies. The Dark Knight Rises, where I was like, Chris is getting sick of these superhero movies.
Yes.
So, what do we do? Let's make a producer on more superhero movies.
And well, then we get... I from what I've heard, that he and one of his writing partners were working on a Superman film that he was going to direct.
Yes.
They somehow...
His writing partners from... From the Batman series, yes.
Yes, and then they somehow got, I don't know if they were kicked off or they quit the project, but then...
I think he was just fucking sick of people in capes, honestly.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I got from it. Zack Snyder. I hate to make your podcast here all about complaining about mistakes that DC has made, but Zack Snyder should be exiled from the country.
Uh-huh.
For crimes against cinema.
For Sucker Punch!
For Sucker Punch.
Fucking Sucker Punch.
Also, Watchmen.
Didn't see it.
Not a bad film. Gorgeous. Did I need an 8-minute sex scene while the entirety of Leonard Cohen's Alleluia played? Literally. Song. Start.
Yeah.
To finish.
That's a long song.
Uh-huh. Owlie and Silk Spectre.
Yep.
Boning the entire time.
As you do.
Ended by the worst, corniest, stupidest orgasm euphemism, which is the owl jet. Owl jet? I don't know, nerds. Leave me alone. I read the book. The owl jet shooting fire out of its nose at the end of it, like, oh.
Did it have that as a voiceover?
Oh, I think the owl jet like went and shot flames out of the front of it. Oh, man. And there was just some... Zack Snyder, get over the fucking slow-mo, dude. Honestly, I will say, yeah, The Watchmen, you fucked it up a little bit there, dude. It didn't really make a whole lot of sense. You missed a lot of, like, the beautiful symbolism that Alan Moore, who's a pretentious prick, yes, but... put some beautiful symbolism into that movie, and you sap that whole movie of all of its essence and all of its heart. These superheroes need heart. It's all about heart. There's just some, like, really essential things that movie was missing, and really was replaced by an 8-minute sex scene and a lot of slow motion kicking and leg breaking and stupid, silly shit that just did not need to take as much time on screen as it did. Yeah, I honestly, though, I thought visually, if you had gotten Zack Snyder to do the visual direction on Superman, sure, that movie would have worked great. Because I thought, like, one of the strengths of that movie, and I won't really go into too much of my complaints on the Superman movie. If you want to hear those, listen to the previous podcasts. Because you guys go into it at length. I will say one of the strengths of that movie, though, was just, like, the weight. How, like, the weight of the body gets thrown around really makes you believe that he has a superhuman strength. Him, like, pressing against the ground and the ground cracking a little bit and him taking off into the sky. I thought, like, the physics of him actually interacting with the world really made you believe in his strength and his, like, ability to fly and what that would actually look like in the real world. I thought that was really nice and really beautifully done.
I will give it that. I'll give it credit for that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I honestly, I did think that the scene on Krypton, even though it was stretched out and way longer than it needed to be, I thought it looked great. And I think that's something, like, Watchmen looked great too. Yeah. Zack Snyder does a good job with that kind of stuff. But, God damn it, keep that fucker away from a story.
Yeah.
He's awful. He's really bad at it.
Sorry, Zick-a-Zack.
He can do some action. Although, I would say, like, the plot of the, like, what happens during the action is my other big complaint, is just the death toll. that that must have gone on in that fucking movie. You're supposed to believe that he cares about snapping one fool's neck.
Well, it was the only other person of his race, I guess, but still.
Yeah, you know, until Supergirl rolls around.
let's hope not.
Anyway, so I guess the moral of the story is the DC universe is in shambles, and now we're supposed to buy into another Zack Snyder movie, Batman and Superman.
Is that Zack Snyder 2?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, a lot of people are worried about Ben Affleck as Batman. I'm more worried about Zack Snyder.
I'm more worried about Zack Snyder fucking Batman up. I think that the biggest problem that this DC universe is going to have, and with, other than the fact that Zack Snyder can't direct his way out of a fucking box, is you have set up a Superman who is absolutely humorless.
Yes.
You have a universe that, like, Batman is the dark character, and now you've brought this really dark and humorless Superman into it, and am I correct in assuming that Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern is coming into the mix?
I really fucking hope not.
I think he might be. I think that might be where we're going with this, that Ryan Reynolds as a Green Lantern might show up in this movie, like, and that's who we're building the Justice League out of.
Yeah, it's
so
those three
that's
characters.
That's a goofy character, which, honestly, I will forgive that movie if you bring a little bit of humor into this movie, into this Justice League movie you're trying to build, because those movies, a big blue Boy Scout, you can't pop a couple little jokes.
Exactly. Like, it's a guy in a big blue and red suit. I can understand if you're trying to be a little more serious than the Christopher Reeve movies, but come on. Like, the funniest part in the movie is when he just moved his wrist and snapped the handcuffs in half. That's the funniest part of your movie. Like, really?
That's not that funny.
But compared to everything
compared to
else.
At least got a chuckle.
Yeah, the dark,
the,
like,
only other part in the movie where they tried to make a joke was some chick calling him hot.
Which isn't funny. Another huge problem with that movie. Oh God, we're gonna do this again. is that literally that movie is so depressing.
Yes.
Oh my God, the weight of that movie. When you get done with it, you're like, oh. Was I watching Save It Private Ryan? This isn't supposed to be a depressing war movie. It's supposed to be an adventure movie about Superman.
Yes,
who's a goofy character. And that's, I think, really. I mean, when you look at it in contrast, what Marvel does very well.
Yes,
and we can start talking about Marvel in a second, but what they do really well in contrast is taking goofy ass characters like Captain America and poking fun at the fact that, yeah, he's goofy. He's a goofy ass character.
He's got a weird looking.
He kicks that ass when he needs to, but he is goofy.
Yes.
As a concept. So we will take our chuckles at the fact that he is, as Robert Downey Jr. says, spangly, and then we will move on to him being a badass.
Yes.
And you will accept that because, you know, that is what you get out of the way that this movie is built up. But I think this Justice League movie is in trouble, because I think the contrast between the Green Lantern movie, even though I think the humor is really needed in it, the contrast between that movie and the world you've built up with the Batman movies, which I guess maybe you're discarding, I don't really know.
Yeah, it's not canonical to the...
Right, but you're off to a bad start with this Superman movie, because that thing is dark, and
yes.
I don't mind a little darker than the previous Superman movies, but come on.
Yeah, I'm not excited for any fucking Justice League movie on this track. Not at all.
And, honestly, also, you've also got, I guess there's sort of rumors sort of up in the air whether they are going to bring the Green Arrow into this. And we can talk about TV shows later on, but the Green Arrow is the star of a TV series called Arrow, which there's another weird thing that the DC universe is doing with their movies, which is they have a problem with calling their superheroes by their superhero name.
They won't call Superman Superman.
They won't call Green Arrow Green Arrow. They'll just say, I think they call him the Hood in the TV show. They won't call Superman Superman, and they barely call Batman Batman.
Yes.
The Batman, or the Vigilante, or, you know, they say all kinds of stuff like that. But Marvel's done this and been totally believable with you calling Captain America Captain America. You can't fucking figure out a way to make us believe that everyone's calling Green Arrow Green Arrow. I don't even know if, honestly, that Green Lantern movie was incredibly forgettable, but I don't remember if they ever call him, oh no, because of the Green Lantern Corps they do. So they, he is a Green Lantern. But, you know, nobody on Earth is like, look, it's the Green Lantern.
Right.
You know, it never happens. So how are you going to build an iconic team of characters when you don't even have names?
I know.
I'm sorry, but that's an easy thing that you can do. I guess a small complaint when you really look at the problems that DC's facing.
But it's part of the larger problem that's what those
characters are called, and you're putting it on the you know, is as the name of the movie to a point. I guess you didn't with Man of Steel. You couldn't even sack up to use Superman in the title, but
yeah.
You see, what I think what they wanted to do is set it apart from the Christopher Reeve movies, so like by not calling it Superman something or other, Superman 4, just to make sure so people got the idea. But there's a big S on his
uniform.
Yes, I mean, but it's not an S.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah,
sure. It's not an S. It's not fine. But everyone knows that big S stands for Superman.
Yes.
We can go ahead and call it a Superman movie.
That's mentioned twice in passing.
There's an attempt. They could have made a joke of that. Like, it still looks like an S. I'm calling it an S.
Yeah.
Right.
It wouldn't have been funny, especially, but it would have been an attempt.
But right, right. There might have even been a line that said, looks like an S to me, or something like that. I don't even know. Lois Lane says,
why is there an S on your chest?
Yeah, no, I know, but I think, yeah, at the end, I think she looks like an S.
I don't fucking know. But yes,
I mean, if Marvel can pull out the fact that the Avengers are actually called the Avengers and not just here's some dudes that got together to beat up Loki.
Yes,
you actually call them the Avengers in the movie. Then I think they can muster up the courage to call their
Robert Downey Jr. even says, yeah, it's a world's most mightiest heroes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to make your movie a little silly. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want Schumacher Batman, but you can be a little funny about it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be this strictly serious and a downer of a movie just to be taken seriously.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, and I guess we're moving right into Marvel here, Marvel has a huge strength, and I think it's also a strength that they have in their comic books, which is they hire great people to be in charge of their movies, to act in their movies, and really let the people that are involved in these movies run with it and really shine in their own way. You got Robert Downey Jr., who has, it's been out in the open that he makes a lot of directing decisions, like on the fly. He makes a lot of decisions about how he wants to act as Tony Stark.
Does a lot of improving.
And that has lent to itself to the flavor. I think a little bit too much in Iron Man 2, but I think Iron Man 3 and the first Iron Man, it works really well. And you also have Joss Whedon, who that Avengers movie is, it's uncanny in that it is a Joss Whedon movie. Like you can set it next to any of his work, and it's got a Joss Whedon flavor to it, but it works. That little bit of flavor, you get some style to it. You get some of that lightheartedness that Joss Whedon can bring to a serious situation like New York City being destroyed, which is something that people could really even like take offense to seeing after things like 9/11. You know, the context of New York City getting like buildings falling down as like, you know, as this sort of stuff happens. But you can take it in and make it into something that we can watch and not hate.
Yes.
I honestly think some of that Superman movie got on the verge of as like buildings actually like toppling over. Some of the imagery was borderline like calling up 9/11 a little bit too much, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that is, you know, that can be a little scary for somebody who lived through that. Do you really want to watch on a giant screen a building falling over almost in the exact same way and then not even addressing it? You know, so you guys had talked about Iron Man 3 and you had some beefs. And I wanted to talk about this because I loved Iron Man 3.
And
Iron Man 3 was fucking fantastic.
I will say, I probably came across more negative than I really think about that movie. Just, I didn't dislike it. There was just a few things that kind of bugged me about it. But overall, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, when I saw it, I really liked it. I really thought it was really good.
It was just a few things that I thought would have made it better.
But go ahead, yeah.
Okay, so one of my favorite things about this movie, and one of the reasons I thought this was the most successful out of the three Iron Man movies, was that you had Tony Stark really showing his Tony Starkiness and what makes the man a guy that you can get behind and not just, oh, this guy happened to build a good, cool suit and now he's got an easy in to being a superhero because he got the, like, why is Tony Stark somebody that we should believe in as, like, being on a lineup with Thor, you know? And that is that he, like, this scene where he, like, MacGyvers, like, out of just, like, stuff he finds in a kid's shed, enough stuff to, like, infiltrate, like, this base with all these, you know, armed guards and stuff like that in this crazy, like, James Bondy-esque MacGyver and, like, taking people out with flashbang grenades and, like, tripping people with, oh my god, that scene is so good. And then you have this scene where he's only got one of his Iron Man gloves because the Iron Man suit comes to him in pieces and the rest of it is, like, stuck in a shed, and so he is, like, zipping around the room with one glove on and, like, blasting people. Oh my god, that's some of the best stuff that's been in a Marvel movie yet. And then, of course, showing all those different Iron Man suits with, like, I think that is, like, that's geek porn right there. That's some stuff that nerds just die for, you know. You know, people that are fans of the comics know that Tony Stark's got a ton of Iron Man suits, and seeing all those different Iron Man suits in action and having different purposes and different abilities and stuff like that was just fantastic. Way to go with making Pepper Potts a character that actually kicks some ass, giving some power to the ladies. She does some cool stuff in that movie. She gets an Iron Man suit, a lady in the Iron Man suit, and then has the final death blow to Guy Pearce there at the end. So I think that's pretty cool. And I know a lot of people think that the fire-breathing extremist people were a little cheesy, but I like it. I'm into it. That wasn't a problem I had with it. I've just seen a lot of people be like, come on, fire-breathing fire people, that's corny.
Well, sure, but
come on, I mean, it's superheroes.
Yeah.
We're supposed to believe gamma radiation turned a guy into a big green monster. I think we can believe fire people.
Yeah. And again, with Marvel, you can, like, they work it somehow that you can, that they can get away with that.
Not to start
this whole conversation again, but I think that's, again, a proof.
I think Marvel has been very smart about concocting their cinema universe so you really believe that these characters exist in the real world, but not so seriously that you're stuck sort of in a corner the way the Batman movies. Right. I think they had to move away from the way those Batman movies. You can't have them be canon with the rest of the DC universe
because you
put those movies in such a real world thing that you backed yourself into a corner.
Yes.
And Marvel's been very smart about not doing that. Marvel has one big problem, though. And that, well, I guess, first of all, let me just say, the Avengers movie's awesome. I'm so excited to see the next Avengers movie. I thought it's one of my favorite movies, period. I think that was just a very, very well done execution of bringing all those characters together, and it could have been such a disaster, and god damn it, that movie's good. And just had so many, like, I think it was a lot, the best thing about it is just, it was so much fun.
Yes.
You know, it was so much fun to go into the theater, and there was people, when I saw it in the theaters, like, people standing up and clapping during parts. When, spoilers, Hulk beats the shit out of Loki, throws him around like a rag doll. People were laughing so hard that, no, like, literally, across the country, no one knew what the Hulk said after that. And someone had to actually go and get it down on paper, like, a major online blog. had to report that,
that he said puny god.
That the Hulk said puny god because no one heard it, because everyone was laughing and cheering so much. Like, when you can pull that off, you win. Like, that's how you do a superhero movie, and I think that's what the DC Universe is really lacking, is fun.
Yeah.
These movies are fucking superhero movies. They're supposed to be fun.
Yes. That Avengers movie is a movie I really love. It's a movie that I've seen already multiple times, and I always have fun watching it. And even though I've honestly not seen a lot of the movies that build up to the Avengers, I've seen the Iron Man movies, and I've seen Thor. Even with that, you can still follow along with it. You can still go into that movie and not be lost.
I think it is a little tough without seeing Thor. Thor sort of gives you the, where Loki came from, and I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a little bit hard to follow what his motivation is if you hadn't seen Thor, but,
I mean, I haven't seen Thor, but I still enjoyed the movie. I picked up most of the stuff pretty easily. I mean, maybe I don't know exactly everything about lore and Loki, but you told me, so it kind of filled me in. So I guess as long as you have a little butt backing on who Loki is, what his motivation is.
Yeah, then somebody can catch you up pretty easy, and you can walk into that movie knowing everything you need to know. Mm-hmm. And I think even the movie does a little bit in the beginning to be like, who's this Loki?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's an Asgardian god, you know? Mm-hmm. What? Asgardian god? Yeah. Okay, just go with it. But yeah, like I was saying, the DC or the Marvel universe has a big problem, and that is that Marvel early on farmed out their licenses to a bunch of different companies. Sony owns Spider-Man, and Fox owns the Fantastic Four and Daredevil. Most importantly, the X-Men. And the X-Men are a huge part of the Marvel universe. They're like half of it. We're supposed to sort of just believe that these characters sort of exist in the same world, but we don't hear anything about them because
they technically exist in the same reality, but they'll never ever ever cross together.
Right, which is a little unbelievable, I think.
Yeah,
from a nerd's perspective, that you don't see, you know, the word mutant pop up at all, which kind of screws Marvel a little bit. But I hear in the rumor mill that they are right now building up comic books about Inhumans, and Inhumans are basically a group of human beings who become, you know, given random mutation like superpowers because of like some government experiment that is released in this thing called Terrigen Mist, that they like the government releases this mist and it turns people into like this like sort of a secluded race of superhumans, and that might be where the Marvel Cinema Universe is going in order to sort of avoid the idea of mutants, is we're going to go Inhumans instead. So
it's a clever way of doing it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, at least like you sort of fill that void of like we have this giant group. I mean, it's still weird that you're not mentioning
the mutants,
but you're sort of filling that sort of like this is gap. A bigger universe where things like this happen now, and there have been good movies coming out of those non-Marvel companies. I think Amazing Spider-Man was not amazing, but it was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was. I was like, all right, fine. Yeah, there's some weirdness. There's some weird stuff, but basically they hit Peter Parker.
Yeah, a lot better than the Tobey Maguire.
I believed Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker.
Yes.
I liked,
I liked what's Gwen her name? Stacy. Gwen Stacy actually did stuff.
Something. Yes.
She actually did she stuff rather than just being there to be captured at some point or whatever, in danger.
Which is a horrible misstep by the Sam Raimi movies and Mary Jane, is she literally is just a prop that falls and he goes, oh shit!
Yes. She's always a plot device for him to fight somebody.
Yes.
And
she doesn't actually, she's not actually a character. She could have been like a road cone and we would have been fine.
Not the road cone!
My precious road cone!
How will people know to turn left?
good on them for that one. And also, X-Men First Class, really good movie. Haven't seen it?
I haven't seen that one.
See that movie. It's pretty good. I'm really excited about the Days of Future Past, which is the new X-Men movie, because it is tying the old X-Men movies with X-Men First Class, which I thought was a great movie, together. There's some time travel involved, so, you know, things could get a little crazy, but, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed that one's good. Also keeping my fingers crossed that my favorite character, Daredevil, will be joining the Marvel Universe again, because its rights have reverted from Fox to Marvel. That's where... Oh, and we have Avengers, the new movie. They show Iron Man helmet getting smashed into a different shape, which is the shape of Ultron's head, which is a evil sentient robot with daddy issues. Also, my favorite bad guy from the Marvel Universe. I'm very excited that the new Avengers movie is called Avengers Age of Ultron. And we're going to sort of see the start of the next phase of the Marvel Cinema Universe. Mm-hmm. Start with, I believe, I would say that my prediction is going to be the fall of Tony Stark and sort of the wrap-up of him being sort of the center point of these stories and sort of, like, the rise of this crazy villain who, like, probably one of the scariest Avengers villains in the comics for a long, long time, so...
For the next Amazing Spider-Man movie, I hear that the villain's going to be Electro.
It is Electro, played by none other than Ray Charles.
Yes. He overcame that blindness thing.
And now he's blue and electric. Yep. We also have Paul Giamatti playing the Rhino. That's a true story.
As you do.
As you do. yeah, you got a pretty decent cast in this movie. I'm thinking things are going to be good. James Spader is going to be Ultron in the Ultron movie.
Nice.
So that's going to be good. Things are looking up for, but yeah, I think we do have a little problem with oversaturation.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping some great movies like Pacific Rim start to get the spotlight again, because they're good. Giant monsters fighting giant robots, what's not to like? Giant
Word.
Sword?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This might open up a whole can of worms, so...
Open it.
Can's open.
Unleash the can!
Going back again to DC Justice League stuff. So we got Superman, we got Batman, probably got Green Lantern.
Yeah. Maybe Green Arrow.
Green Arrow, possibly. I wonder, do you think they could possibly somehow make a Wonder Woman movie? Is it possible?
Oh, for fuck's sake, can we get a lady superhero?
Hasn't there been ideas of a Wonder Woman movie?
They tried to make a Wonder Woman TV show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They tried to make a Wonder Woman TV show, and apparently it died at the pilot stage. But come on.
Yeah.
We can do better than that, I think.
I think that people don't want to believe that a female role can be done well and be strong but not be too cliche, have some depth to it. People don't want to give it enough credit, and I think that if they really, really worked hard, and unfortunately it doesn't look like
just,
that.
How about just have some faith that people can
yes.
enjoy mm-hmm. a movie that does not have a male lead, you know mm-hmm. I mean?
And, you know,
let a lady carry the torch a little bit. I think this could really work, and I think you can make Wonder Woman a compelling character, especially the new 52 version of Wonder Woman, who's more, like, based in, like, Greek lore, and, like, it's a gritty Wonder Woman. You can
yeah.
do your whole heartless, depressing movie thing with this Wonder Woman.
Don't. And I think that ties into not wanting to be silly thing mm-hmm. that DC has going on, and for Wonder Woman having, like, the invisible plane or whatever, and
you don't have to put that in.
You don't have to put it in.
There's things that we will live without, you know? Like,
yes, yeah.
You could have gone through that entire Superman movie without putting glasses on that fool and making him Clark Kent. You know, we would have been fine if you had not... Or, you know what? Even if you put the glasses on and, like, Fishburne, like, winked at him because he knew he's really Superman. He's just helping a brother out and giving him a job. And
kept him in the back.
Or
something.
You know, and also Zack Snyder's a visually interesting dude. There's, like, lore that says the reason people can't tell the difference between Superman and Clark Kent is that Superman vibrates at such a high frequency that people actually can't get a good look at him. You could have done an explanation of that real quick, and, you know, or, you know, just mess his hair up.
He could have not
bit,
had or... that scene where he was floating right in front of them talking to the army.
Yeah, looking them dead in the eyes.
Yeah.
Taking glasses on and off his face, being like, whoop, huh?
Yeah.
Where'd
yeah.
I go?
Where'd I go?
I'm not Superman.
I think
I am.
Lawrence Fishburne. I think we can give Lawrence Fishburne enough credit to say he doesn't have problems with object permanence. Oh, Man of Steel. What the fuck? You're the worst. Not the worst, but pretty bad.
There's Howard the Duck.
I would say emo dance Spider-Man is worse than Howard the Duck.
Really?
Fuck yeah.
Have you seen it?
You can laugh at Howard the Duck and be like, that crazy 80s movie. There is no excuse for Tobey Maguire dancing down the street and slapping women. But Marvel is apparently in talks with one of the stars of Battlestar Galactica to play a female role as a lead character in her own movie, Captain Marvel.
Ooh.
Who is a female character. Well, originally a male character,
yes,
but
yeah.
Miss Marvel has recently in Marvel Comics changed her name to Captain Marvel, and so you don't have that Miss before, you know, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel. Like,
yeah.
We've just dropped that. We can now accept that a female can have a cool superhero name without a lady
handle
to it, yes.
Another thing that's coming up that looks kind of interesting, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I think this is something that, like, because comic books are serial in nature, they work very well as TV shows. Arrow, not the greatest show in the world, but pretty okay.
best endorsement.
It's pretty okay. Obviously, the success of a show like Walking Dead has really given people the faith that a comic book can be a great TV show. We have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. sort of spinning right out of the Marvel movies, and we have the return of Agent Coulson, who...
Died.
leading to...
Spoiler.
To, yeah. Sorry about that.
Whoops. So it's a prequel, I'm assuming?
No, it is not a prequel, and there are rumors abound as to how Coulson, you know, literally their ad campaign is just posters that say hashtag Coulson lives. And why is Coulson alive? There's a lot of rumors saying that S.H.I.E.L.D. has the technology to rebuild him, to make him stronger.
We have the technology.
And that Coulson will actually end up being the Vision, who is an android character, who is part human, part machine. Also, Joss Whedon is being very open about saying that he's having two mutants in the Avengers movie. He's not calling them mutants because he can't. But the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are going to be Avengers, and the Scarlet Witch in the comic book has a love interest, and that would be the Vision.
Ant-Man.
Fuck. No, it is the Vision. The Vision is the Scarlet Witch's lover, and they have kids. In fact, their kids go on to be the Young Avengers, and so we can keep the party going with new characters. That is the internet rumor. Joss Whedon is rarely like gone and been like, you know how everybody thought this was going to happen?
Totally is.
but you know, I think that's an interesting theory. There's a lot of interesting things they could do with that universe, and there's a lot of like interesting like characters, you know, street level characters like Daredevil could have a spin-off TV show. I would love to see a Daredevil TV show. You have characters like Luke Cage or Power Man, who are just like street level characters. Iron Fist, who's like a kung fu character, could be in that show eventually. You know, there's a lot of possibilities that Marvel has sort of opened itself up to, and I'm a Marvel fan that not come across. I like my Marvel.
Oh. Do you?
If anyone didn't notice.
You like that old Hulk show?
I like that Lou Ferrigno. I love that Lou Ferrigno. No, I think that was my point was just that it's an interesting format, and I think Marvel's smart to tie that into their movie universe, and it, you know, if it works, which I really hope it does, there could be some spin-offs, and you could actually have a Marvel TV universe tied directly to the Marvel Cinema universe.
I guess my final thoughts on that would be, even though I'm not really a big comic book collector, or I'm not particularly somebody who seeks out comic book characters as my preferred central figure for a movie or anything like that, I always like seeing, especially the Marvel movies that have been coming out recently, I always enjoy going to see those. As for the question of whether they are eclipsing some of the other movies that may be out, maybe to some extent, maybe people are more ready to see fun movies than they are of, yeah, like The Butler or whatever.
Well, I even think, I was missing the point when I said something like The Butler, but I think the problem is just that a big summer blockbuster now has a hard time getting off the ground if it's not already an established franchise. And that is something that we are seeing post the big superhero era. It's tough to do.
And I think that is the case in some instances, like Pacific Rim or, you know, something like that. There's still great movies coming out, like The Conjuring, that, you know...
Oh, God, that movie's fantastic.
A great movie, and it still did phenomenally well and was in main theaters for a very long time, and fully so.
So I guess my final thoughts on this are just, hey, Kick-Ass 2. Really?
Yeah.
And hey, Jim Carrey. Really? The gun violence was the problem with that movie? Wasn't the rape jokes?
Yeah.
Or the,
It's called Kick-Ass 2.
Or the, heavy-handed gay jokes, or, you know,
little girl saying cunt.
Yeah, all these things.
Have you seen the first movie? It's a sequel. You
hey!
Probably...
Jim Carrey. Are you cool?
Were you the Riddler?
I saw you grabbing your crotch law in the 90s, dude. And we've come full circle.
But I guess going back to what I wanted to say before is that there's a whole ton of possibilities that they could do, and I want to see them do that as much and try to explore that as much as possible. I think that what worries me is really just getting stuck, that they found something that they have gotten money from for the first time. I'm worried that they'll get stuck into repeating the same old jargon over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a risk of getting stuck in a bit of a formula, and there are literally, they call them DC Universe and Marvel Universe because there is a whole universe to explore.
Mm-hmm.
One thing we didn't mention is Marvel's doing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which is going to be Marvel in space.
Yeah.
So, literally, there is a lot to explore and...
Mm-hmm. And, like, that's what I want to see, and that's kind of what I was trying to get to before, is that I want them to, even though you've had some great stuff, take even more chances, explore everything that you can, don't get stuck with just what you've got right now.
Go see Pacific Rim 2, for fuck's sake. God damn, that was a good movie.
If you liked what you heard from this episode of our podcast, stop by our main site at thepapermask.wordpress.com. That's thepapermasque.wordpress.com. And there you can find some of our previous episodes. And you could read some reviews of music, like every one of the David Bowie albums we've done in our David Bowie retrospective series. And you can check out our current retrospective series on John Frusciante and all of his studio releases. You can also find our podcast on iTunes, where you can leave a positive review so people like you can find our episodes. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, where you can get in touch with us, and we will keep posting updates on when we have new episodes of the podcast or new reviews, anything like that. Anyway,
donate.
Yes.
Donate. This is that's how things like podcasts like this stay afloat, and how this format gets sort of validated. You know, people always say, if it's out there and it's good, I'll donate, I'll give money to it. I can steal things and still justify my consuming of them, because I'll give money to what I think is good. So that's how this sort of thing stays afloat. So give these fools money.
We'll get some better equipment, maybe some cool stuff to record in, who knows.
Yes, absolutely. Right now we're not really working on much of a budget at all. We love doing podcasting, and we would like to continue doing it. We would like to continue doing this site. Anything you can contribute would be a huge help. We have some new ideas for series in the future, which hopefully you'll hear about soon. You know, if you want to keep hearing some more of this stuff, some more frequent episodes, more involved episodes, feel free to contribute. We have a PayPal button on the site where you can find on the sidebar, along with our Twitter feed, Facebook feed, everything like that. So with that, Tom, Scott, thanks for joining me today.
You betcha.
Not a problem.
And from the paper mask, this is good night.
Later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Paper Mask Podcast. For more discussions, visit the Paper Mask main site at thepapermask.wordpress.com, the Paper Mask SoundCloud page, or the iTunes page, where you can subscribe and receive each new episode as they're released. Also, stop by the Paper Mask main site to read our written reviews of music like The Civil War's Barton Hollow, Billy Joel's The River of Dreams, and movies like the Swell Season documentary film. You can also check out our recently finished David Bowie retrospective series, in which we take a look at each of David Bowie's official studio albums. And join the discussion by leaving a comment on our main site or by following us on Facebook and Twitter. You can help the Paper Mask expand into the world of blogging and podcasting by heading to our main site and clicking the PayPal donation button on the side. This podcast is a Paper Mask production. Narrations, theme music, and editing done by Steven. The Paper Mask will return.
But anyway, I will say that my biggest complaint poor dog. Just wanna have friends.
The elf winches are so beautiful that you will spend the rest of your life searching for that same beauty again. Yes.
Wow. You're an idiot. But I guess they wanted to make it different from, and show it was different from the rainy ones. I don't know.
The, no. Christopher Reeve movie.
Yeah, I guess, okay, I'll try that again. I guess what they really wanted was to set it apart.
Set it apart?
They did set it apart.
They did. I wouldn't argue with that.
God damn it. See, I don't talk for a little bit, then I fuck it up. Okay.
And
see,
go.
At least have one character that is a little funny, but...
Token black guy.
We got a...
Oh, yeah.
We got a lady lead. Why not get racist with it?
Yeah, just... I just want them people to try with that. I mean, like, them if people. It didn't work with a planet, ooh, try again.
Them people?
Them people? Did I say that?
Carry on.
Okay. God, we went from talking about we want a strong woman character to let's slap them.
I like my Marvel.
Oh. Do you?
If anyone didn't notice.
You like that old Hulk show?
I like that Lou Ferrigno. I love that Lou Ferrigno.
There are a few movies about that.
Yeah.
A few TV movies.
Basically, just Lou Ferrigno painted green flexing.
They did universe building in there. There was some Thor action.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They were answering the age-old question of who would win in a fight, Thor or Hulk?
I think Thor actually helped Hulk, but yeah.
They didn't fight?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah, that's good.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Thor flex nearly as much as Lou Ferrigno did?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Anyway...
Go on.
Um. I think even things like Star Trek Into Darkness didn't do so well just because of the heat that movies like...
The heat?
Not the heat.
Miss Congeniality 3?
Not the Sandra Bullock vehicle.
No.
The heat put off by the superhero movies.
It put off.
Getting late, guys. Let's wrap this one up.
Oh, God.
Continue.
Cinema, the movies, and the comics will always be, in a way, separate. But... Want to put any more pressure on me, guys? I'm trying to think of something good to say.
We jest.
I mean, shit.
Take your time.
Stretch. Stop making me laugh.
We done.
Love you, Guillermo.
I'm tired.
Oh. Yeah,
we're good.
It's a dark and stormy night. The shadows seem to reach for you. And that's when you hear it. A shrill call in the distance. What could it be, you wonder? Was it the Yeti from next door let out without a leash again? Or is it Dracula and his pet armadillos arriving to discuss a regrettable experience from the year 1972? But no, you've heard this sound before. Ah yes, the dreaded sound of film criticism. Just in time for the Halloween season, from the dark bowels of the Paper Mask blog site, comes Movies with a Mask On. A film commentary series to play alongside your favorite movies. It's Movies with a Mask On. In the first gut-achingly terrifying series of entries, hosts Stephen and Tom will release commentary review tracks for each chapter in Hammer Films' classic Frankenstein saga. That's right, in Movies with a Mask On. Commentaries will be available to download for each of the Hammer horror films. Yes, my friends, you shall never forget the name of... Damn, what was it again?
I saw the mask on.
Movies with a Mask On.
That's right, boys and girls. Fight the darkness with your own download of Movies with a Mask On, a Paper Mask production. The series and other written reviews and audio podcasts can be found at thepapermask.wordpress.com.